Combining Leavitt's cosmic yardstick with Vesto Slipher's handy red shifts, Edwin Hubble now began to measure selected points in space with a fresh eye. In 1923, he showed that a puff of distant gossamer in the Andromeda constellation known as M31 wasn't a gas cloud at all, but a blaze of stars, a galaxy in its own right, 100,000 light-years across and at least 900,000 light-years away. The universe was vaster, vastly vaster than anyone had ever supposed. In 1924, he produced a landmark paper, Cepheids in Spiral Nebulae. Nebulae, from the Latin for clouds, was his word for galaxies, showing that the universe consisted not just of the Milky Way, but of lots of independent galaxies, island universes, many of them bigger than the Milky Way and much more distant. This finding alone would have ensured Hubble's reputation, but he now turned to the question of working out just how much vaster the universe was and made an even more striking discovery. Hubble began to measure the spectra of distant galaxies, the business that Slipher had begun in Arizona. Using Mount Wilson's new 100-inch Hooker telescope and some clever inferences, he worked out that all the galaxies in the sky, except for our own local cluster, are moving away from us. Moreover, their speed and distance were neatly proportional. The further away the galaxy, the faster it was moving. This was truly startling. The universe was expanding swiftly and evenly in all directions. It didn't take a huge amount of imagination to read backwards from this and realize that it must therefore have started from some central point. Far from being the stable, fixed, eternal void that everyone had always assumed, this was a universe that had a beginning. It might therefore also have an end. The wonder, as Stephen Hawking has noted, is that no one had hit on the idea of the expanding universe before. A static universe, as should have been obvious to Newton and every thinking astronomer since, would collapse in upon itself. There was also the problem that if stars had been burning indefinitely in a static universe, they'd have made the whole intolerably hot, certainly much too hot for the likes of us. An expanding universe resolved much of this at a stroke. Hubble was a much better observer than a thinker, and didn't immediately appreciate the full implications of what he had found. Partly this was because he was woefully ignorant of Einstein's general theory of relativity. This was quite remarkable because, for one thing, Einstein and his theory were world famous by now. Moreover, in 1929, Albert Michelson, now in his twilight years but still one of the world's most alert and esteemed scientists, accepted a position at Mount Wilson to measure the velocity of light with his trusty interferometer, and must surely have at least mentioned to him the applicability of Einstein's theory to his own findings. At all events, Hubble failed to make theoretical hay when the chance was there. Instead, it was left to a Belgian priest scholar with a PhD from MIT named Georges Lemaître to bring together the two strands in his own fireworks theory, which suggested that the universe began as a geometrical point, a primeval atom which burst into glory and had been moving apart ever since. It was an idea that very neatly anticipated the modern conception of the Big Bang, but was so far ahead of its time that Lemaître seldom gets more than the sentence or two that we have given him here. The world would need additional decades, and the inadvertent discovery of cosmic background radiation by Penzias and Wilson at their hissing antenna in New Jersey before the Big Bang would begin to move from interesting idea to established theory. Neither Hubble nor Einstein would be much of a part of that big story, though no one would have guessed it at the time. Both men had done about as much as they were ever going to do. In 1936, Hubble produced a popular book called The Realm of the Nebulae, which explained, in flattering style, his own considerable achievements. Here at last he showed that he had acquainted himself with Einstein's theory, up to a point anyway. He gave it 4 pages out of about 200. Hubble died of a heart attack in 1953. One last small oddity awaited him. For reasons cloaked in mystery, his wife declined to have a funeral and never revealed what she did with his body. Half a century later, the whereabouts of the century's greatest astronomer remain unknown. For a memorial, you must look to the sky and the Hubble Space Telescope, launched in 1990 and named in his honor. 9. The Mighty Atom. While Einstein and Hubble were productively unraveling the large-scale structure of the cosmos, others were struggling to understand something closer to hand, but in its way just as remote, the tiny and ever-mysterious atom. The great Caltech physicist Richard Feynman once observed that if you had to reduce scientific history to one important statement, it would be, "All things are made of atoms. They are everywhere, and they constitute everything. Look around you. It is all atoms. Not just the solid things like walls and tables and sofas, but the air in between. And they are there in numbers that you really cannot conceive." The basic working arrangement of atoms is the molecule, from the Latin for little mass. A molecule is simply two or more atoms working together in a more or less stable arrangement. Add two atoms of hydrogen to one of oxygen, and you have a molecule of water. Chemists tend to think in terms of molecules rather than elements, in much the way that writers tend to think in terms of words and not letters. So it is molecules they count, and these are numerous to say the least. At sea level, at a temperature of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 cubic centimeter of air, that is, a space about the size of a sugar cube, will contain 45 million billion molecules. And they are in every single cubic centimeter you see around you. Think how many cubic centimeters there are in the world outside your window. How many sugar cubes it would take to fill that view. Then think how many it would take to build a universe. Atoms, in short, are very abundant. They are also fantastically durable. Because they are so long-lived, atoms really get around.